Blog Talk Radio.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is with distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure that I greet all of you in the listening audience, as well as our distinguished panelists and hosts. In our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. Thank you, dear brothers. And I just want to say to the listening audience, I will be working the chat rooms tonight, but I'm a bit under the weather, so that is the beauty in having a co-host and brother and friend. So tonight, Brother Reginald will be hosting the show. So I pass the baton over to you, Brother Reginald. Thank you.
Thank you, and assalamu alaikum. I want to thank all for joining us tonight, all of the listening audience. I want to thank the panelists, Brother Eddie, for being a part of the panel tonight, as we will be embarking on the subject entitled The Consequence of Rebellion. Once again, that's The Consequence of Rebellion. And we may have Brother Kareem to join us in the show a little bit later via phone. But right now, me and the brother, we're going to go ahead and we're going to deal with the topic. Let me start off properly. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who intervened in our affairs in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. I also want to thank Almighty God Allah for raising one from among us to lead, teach, and guide us back to the path of the righteous path of Almighty God. And that is none other than the exalted Christ, the Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I thank him for teaching one amongst the ranks and placing in his seat one that would carry us across the waves of violence, the waves of destruction, the waves of judgment. That man is none other than our divine warner and teacher, and I miss the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in near three names that I greet you all on the listening audience. And once again, Brother Eddie and Sister Queen Aziza, with the greeting words of peace and paradise, shalom, assalam, walaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Great. Okay, without further ado at this time, we're going to go ahead and let Brother Eddie go ahead and introduce himself to in the proper manner, and also as well, when he gets through, we can let him tell you all about the good works that Almighty God Allah has blessed him to achieve. The floor is yours, brother, and thank you, beloved, and assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam, sir. First and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that Allah came to us, made himself known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And I further bear witness and thank him and could never thank him enough for raising up from among us Christ, the Jesus, the messenger, a friend, and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in another 1,000 years, I can never thank them enough for the man and brother and divine warner and teacher and guide that we have, and the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that three great names, again, I greet the brothers and sisters listening, Brother Reginald and Sister Aziza, with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Well, Alaikum Salam, brother. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. You may proceed now to tell the audience a little bit about you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, study and soldier here in the study group of Augusta, Georgia, here in the southern region. I grew up in the Nation of Islam, and now I'm happy to serve as a student prison reform minister in the prisons throughout Georgia and also in South Carolina. And that is most of the way I labor outside of course, the first work, which is teaching in the streets and then the hoods and the ghettos and the highways and byways of America. And I'm a father and husband and brother, and those are the other wonderful parts of my life that Allah has blessed me with. But other than that, I'm just a brother. I'm nobody very, very special, just trying to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan the best way that I can, as he has given so much. It is nothing for us to give just a little.
All right. That's
to
right.
Help you. So, as far as introducing myself, I guess that's all I'll say. I'm just Brother Eddie, nobody.
Well, you are worthy already, brother. The best name to have and carry with you for the rest of your life is servant. It's no name more beautiful than being called a servant, because that's what we all here for. We all here to be servants of Almighty God, and He'll love us.
Absolutely.
He'll be able to give us more wisdom than we can even imagine if we just accept our role as servants. Because servants save, brother. Servants go out and save so that we can have a big family of servants and watch that family be considered the peacemakers. Now, as we embark on this subject entitled The Consequence of Disobedience, it is a subject that we're embarking on because there seems to be a lot of disobedience building up, not just disobedience of your children, disobedience of us as not heeding certain calls, but disobedience in the form of civil, national, and international disobedience, because it has extended beyond the boundaries of the United States of America. There's civil disobedience going on everywhere right now. But the number one place that we want to touch on is the civil disobedience within, because that's the first disobedience that needs to be dealt with. It's all of our disobedience within. So, brother, we're going to try to cover that topic as best as we can. If we have any questions in the chat room, if we have any questions on the phone, hit press 1, and we will stop exactly what we're doing, and we will get your questions, your concerns, and your comments, and your clarifications answered with the help of Almighty God. And once again, thank you so much for your continued support on Nation Building Movement. For had it not been for you, the listening audience, then we would not be able to continue to share a message as such on this platform with as many people as we can find inside the nook and inside the cranny. So without further ado, brother, I'm going to go ahead and yield the platform to you and let you explain in your own words what you think disobedience is and how does it relate to the present time.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. The best thing I can do, and this reminds me of a reading from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I was in earlier, as we know, as the restrictive law of Islam, as I was assessed. And in the first pages of that text, he talks about the universe and how the 9 planets revolve around the 10th entity of that system, which is the sun. And all of those planets revolve according to the law and in obedience to the law, what he called the law of light, that keeps them in the power of the light of the sun, revolving around the sun, and each planet has light. Our bodies have 9 systems: the endocrine, the lymphatic, the vascular, the muscular, the skeletal. These are all systems. And the 10th system, he said, is the brain. And all of these systems together work in unity, individually, but toward a collective in obedience and strict regard for the law in which they are created. And they are created to work around the 10th system, which is the brain. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that there was a first law of the universe: motion. The second is order. Motion is the life, but then the order comes to sustain the life. When we're talking about disobedience, we are talking about a people or person going against a standard, an organization, an expectation, rules, regulation, laws that are designed to give life to a system or mind that those people are a part of. Now, when speaking in the tone of this particular conversation, starting with nation, take the Nation of Islam. We have rules and laws that give order and light to the motion.
Come on, teach that.
That is the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
And as we abide by, work in regard for, adhere to those laws, we are a part of and give life to the system and the order revolving around the light, which is the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Farad Muhammad, that light.
That's right.
When we disobey, when we fall out of accord, we become like that particular system of the body that has become a cancer. You can have a cancer in a lung. And now the respiratory system has become something that has threatened not only itself, but now has threatened all other systems. When the lungs become cancerous, they can't take in oxygen, which fuels the blood, which is the vascular system. And when the blood is crippled, then all other systems come, and now oxygen cannot get to the brain, which is the head. All of these systems start to cripple down because one has been in disaccord, disobedience, and now the person whom you see as a whole is now crippled and not completely effective in doing their will. So we as parts of the Nation of Islam, as we read in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's answers in the Supreme Wisdom, that we are Allah. The black man is God together.
You're being
part of the system of Allah, when we are disobedient to the law, rules, and regulations put in front of us to create that body, then we not only are crippling of ourselves, but as the lungs have crippled the other systems, we have crippled, in effect, the entire body. Because the Holy Quran says, say he, Allah, is one. One. You know, Minister Sean here, the student coordinator in Augusta, Georgia, gave a lecture on Wednesday night about say he, Allah, is one. And he was talking about us working in unity. And that Allah is one is not just he, Master Farad Muhammad, who as the Eastern world would just say Allah. It's not just him, the one who is nothing is independent but upon whom we all depend, but we as part of his nation, his body, we are one, all one system, one people at one. But when we cease to function and become disobedient, we are now killing the mind, the spirit, the body, the form that we have said that we are a part of.
That's
and
right.
Every cancer, in order to save the body, must be cut out and then treated so that that cancer will not leave behind residue that can grow into another cancer. So when we're talking about disobedience, we're talking about, as I understand it, by Allah's permission, that which endangers not just the life of he who disobeys, but that which endangers the life of everything and everyone connected to that person or to those persons who have engaged in disobedience.
That's right.
And I'll leave it there for the moment.
Assalamu alaikum. Beautiful, beautiful, beloved. Wonderful, profound, straight to the point, clear, exact, and powerful. Now, if we go back, we're going to deal with the Torah for just a second. If we go back to the Torah, one of the first commandments that God gave to Adam was in the form of obedience. For he told Adam that he may eat of all the trees in the garden except for that one in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of good and evil. And that's all he gave him. That's all he basically told him in its inception to prove obedience. Being the all-wise God that he is, he knew Adam was going to disobey. This is God now. This is God. For he told Adam, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't say if you eat it. He said, for the day when you eat of it, you shall surely die. But of course, Adam disobeyed. And he even said his wife disobeyed to cause him to disobey. So now we've been pointing fingers. That's when pointing fingers entered into the hearts of the people. We start pointing fingers. You don't know that thumb pointing right back at us. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. There's not one, no, not one, that has not fallen away. For us to perfect and put on ourselves and subjugate to ourselves that we are in the line of those who have not fallen away, then we are being prideful and egotistical to think that we have not at some point disobeyed. We all are up under that curse of disobedience because we want to do it our way. We want to obey idols. We don't want to obey divine words, divine warnings, and divine messages, and divine commandments that are put out there for those who believe as a weapon, not other than anything else but a weapon to defeat the wiles of Satan. So disobedience ain't just something that God has given us to choose and let our will be done. Disobedience is the standard for which you are measured on your success. And it's eternal. It's not finite. But if you take these teachings and these beliefs and disobey the science in these teachings and these beliefs, then you're headed down the path of disobedience. And it's finite. But for Allah to whoop us into submission, it's going to take us saying uncle and getting out of disobedience and into obedience. Because we're not Adamite. We taken on the image of an Adamite by eating from the tree of good and evil. What's the number one problem that's destroying the root of the tree of good and evil and keeping it moving? It's the lack of us unifying as one ummah, as one family. We got to become one family, and the house is divided, but Almighty God will save the house if we exemplify love. Not for the world, but love for each other. Allah can come back in the house. And the house can be effective. We can be given a different method of being ministers and saving the people. But we got to obey. We got to obey the man that he has put in charge to direct our affairs in this day and time. See, disobedience is going to get you killed. Disobedience is going to get you swept away with the winds. Disobedience is going to get you imprisoned. Disobedience is going to be your downfall because the nation ain't falling with you. The nation is being purified right now because it's on fire because it's so much dissatisfaction in the nation because they tired of what they are doing and practicing and not putting it into application. You are building up fiery serpents in the nation, and it's a fire in there because that fire is in there to purify the hearts one last time. And once the hearts are purified and the hearts begin to obey, once the hearts begin to obey that mindset of love for one another, then to go out and get another brother or another sister to come in that same type of house will be a joy. It ain't a joy no more. but it's got to turn back into a joy. And the first joy starts at home. Reconnect with the Ummah of the Nation of Islam. Tell your brother and sister you love them. Start protecting your MGT when they have to work late at night. Let's go back to showing that we are the standard of the universe. We the Nation of Islam. It's the reason why we the Nation of Islam. Because we were the first to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and get rid of spookism and brought God from out the sky to the earth to be with us. Now we representing God now. And that's what's most important, to represent God in his Christ. Return. If you're going to go teach the people, you got to know the people language. If you're going to go be a savior, you got to go to some of these Mormon churches where your people at. You got to go to some of these kingdom halls where your people at. Camouflage in there and be quiet and listen. Because you will learn that when you obey the Spirit of Allah that is in each and every one of us as Allah's, when we obey that spirit, that small still voice, then Allah will speak for us. We all got good and proper language. He will speak for us. We don't need to think about what we gonna speak. If our father has been preaching for 60 years, 37 years in absence of his spiritual father, and we ain't figured out the methodology of the mathematical language that allows you to be attractive to the world? No, we haven't, because we haven't studied and we haven't applied it, because we were too much involved with sport and play, which is the underlying cause of disobedience. Now, I'm sorry to take up so much time, but brother, on that note, I want you to give us a second thought that Allah has put in your heart based on this subject of disobedience. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Mr. Farrakhan said something. There are a couple of things, and I'll try to make them connected as brief as I can. Mr. Farrakhan, when you recently in his opening, you would hear him say, and we know his openings are a speech within themselves, but he would say that when Allah comes, he comes and sends a man with a threat. And with that threat is two alternatives, obedience, life, disobedience, then the threat. We're living in a time where two forces are at war with one another. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us there are only two forces in existence, Allah and the devil. Now, if we take obedience in general, you can just obey the devil, you can obey Allah, you can obey anything. Obedience is simply your being in accord with the will of something. So if our conversation is about obedience and disobedience, then who are we speaking of obeying and who are we speaking of disobeying? And what does our condition say about who we have been obeying or not disobeying? I was having a conversation again with a local minister here about a particular condition in the study group. And I was talking about a specific condition, but he backed it up. He said that any problem that we have in the mosque is a problem of the men not doing our duty that has caused these particular occurrences. Now, I won't go into specifics. We have some particular conditions that cause some problems with some believers. And he went right into not how to fix the problem, but look at the conditions that have been created by the neglect of duty. So here, some responsible parties have failed to act in accord with the training, teachings, and program of the Nation of Islam, the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that has created a condition that now, after witnessing, reflecting upon, and accepting our role in that, we now can fix the condition. Now, it would seem to us, engaging day to day, that we were in accord. But here, the minister in his wise position saying, no, look at the condition. The condition is shown that we have disobeyed our training to this manner, and now to the same, the opposite degree, we have this particular problem. See, obedience, and I want to connect to what the brother just said, obedience is not necessarily 100-0 or yay or nay or black and white. But we can obey up to a course and disobey up to a course based upon our willingness to bow down to the instruction. I grew up in the training of martial arts, and our masters and our master would give us instruction. And some of us would go home and practice. Some of us would just practice in class. Some of us would take the reading material, and some of us would not. I would always take the reading material and take extra and go home and practice and do extra. And some would just show up in class and do a little bit. Now, we're both obeying. We're both being obedient. We're both following his instruction. Both of us are, when he says attention, we're attention. Both of us, when he says kick, we say kick, both of us. When he say fight, we fight. But how is one then better than the other? Because the degree to the commitment to the instruction, that level of obedience made a greater result for one than the other. So the brother talked about going to the street and talking to our people. These are instruction is specifically speaking to those of us in the Nation of Islam who are dedicated to this work. We can obey up to a point. Well, I order the statement. So you're being obedient. I won't go out and tell them, well, okay, that's your level of disobedience. Some of us will go and stand on the corner and sell some, and some will then go extra and go door to door. Some will come to the mosque every Sunday or every Wednesday, but outside of the mosque, people may not necessarily know. You may hide it, hide your Islam. Some of us may no meat, just eat strict vegetarian, as close to how to eat to live, but maybe do 3 times a day. See, these are levels of obedience, levels of disobedience. Now, what I'm trying to get to is on this point about obedience is that it's not just doing it or not doing it, but the level of your commitment determines how much you get out of the instruction, how much you give and are important and cost to your nation. You know, they say, now we know Allah put every organ in the body to have a purpose, but for case of point, they say that your gallbladder is not a necessary organ. And many people have it removed. My mother was the one who had her gallbladder removed due to some sickness, but still functions normally. So her gallbladder was a part of her systems, her body, but it wasn't a committed piece to where it was gone that it caused any real substantial reaction. We can't be like that. We can't be a part of this work to a point going, here we go when we come, is really not much, because we obedient to a point that we fit in, but not to a point where we are growing and sustaining our nation, to a point where we are evolving and helping bring our nation into the next level. See, that thinking of obedience requires something more. That's love there. That's obedience to sacrifice. Then Minister Louis Farrakhan did a speech. He said obedience is better than sacrifice, because the more we obey, the more we commit to the instruction, the less we allow degrees of disobedience, the more we get out of and give to that which we say we love and are obedient to.
That's right.
Think about this. I'm going to say this. Last thing.
That's
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Speak from your heart.
Yes, sir. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when he heard, he was a 100% convert. Now think on that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a 100% convert. And a man asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said, how do you know that the man that you met was God in person? And he said that he made me all up into himself. Now think about that. Here's a man who was 100% obedient. Now how many of us could really say that we are 100% obedient to what we say we believe, regardless of what you believe? As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on his Savior's Day lecture put us all on the same plate, Muslims, Christians, Jews, all of us on the same plate.
That's right.
In
yes,
that lecture.
Yes, he did.
Exactly how much do we believe? How much are we committed? How much are the levels of disobedience which we have allowed? How much is that disobedience held us back? Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad became the Christ. And he said that when you become gods, you don't need me anymore. Now think on this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when you become gods, then you don't need me anymore. Now as much as I, and I'm a sweet person, I need the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I could not fathom not being in need of that man and his wisdom. But this is what he's saying. Now, we know that's in time and has growth and all of these things, but for him to say that means that there is something waiting for us. As the Supreme Wisdom says, prepare yourself for positions, qualify yourself for positions that await you. But because of the levels of disobedience which we have allowed, we may not be so outright to disobedience where we get enough time. Or we get put out of the mosque or the church or wherever. But we are disobeying to the point that we have neglected and forfeited that which Allah has in store for us.
That's right.
Because we still refuse to give all of ourselves to obey 100% when Allah's promise we know is always 100%.
That's right.
I'm going to put a pin in it there. Turn it over to Brother Richard.
All right. Brother, thank you once again from speaking from your heart, man. You know, that's so important, that heart. Not the flesh, but the heart, your mind. Speak from your mind. Let Allah use your mind to cultivate somebody else's mind so that we can begin to build that piece of flesh over again, because it has to be rebuilt. It has to, the new man has to come, and the old man or woman has to leave. Both of them can't occupy the space at the same time. Almighty God loved the world so much, and he ain't talking about all the world either. He talking about his world of children that he created, that he gave one of his children the duty, the responsibility to go out and get the rest of his family. And if that meant crossing all aisles of faith persuasions, that's what this Jesus did. This Jesus did it all. Rather he was 2,000 years ago or not, this Jesus knew he was returning. And see, this Jesus is the one that resurrected the exalted Christ and exalted him to his exaltation. See, this Jesus, he's the one who's speaking to and through the people through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So why not obey him? Why can't we get along with our brothers and sisters who we see every day? Yet most of us haven't even seen Master Farah Muhammad. But we love him, and we can't love each other enough for 5 minutes to atone for the wrong that we have done to one another. The process of atonement was given to us, but the wisdom of the atonement was given to us. But in all wisdom and information that you get, dig deeper into the science of it. That's why Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam, because you're an eternal student. That means you're an eternal student. You're a Muslim student. You never stop learning. You never stop evolving. You never stop searching for more and more and more truth. Truth is not finite. It's mockery for you to think that you know it all. You have to continue to grow and learn and know that there's always going to be one come on the scene to lead the next one that leaves the scene. But if you don't obey what's with you now, how are you going to obey that which is to come? See, that's the cancer. That's the cancer. Those who already know they're not going to obey the next one in line. And the next one in line has been prepared for you already. If only you but knew. But you won't obey. We won't obey. Simple commandments. 5 cents a day. We won't obey that. Because we want to take what we got with us and keep what we got with us. No, we won't obey 5 cents a day. That's mockery. That's too little of me to save 5 cents a day to a cause that not that we want, but we gonna need. These white folk ain't finna keep you on their job. These white folk ain't finna keep these entitlements open. Food stamps, all of these entitlements, they finna shut down. They prepared for a whole nother type of currency. So like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us, you are gonna be able to take $100 bill out your pocket and smoke it. And while I'm on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's the exalted Christ. So do you know what the Christ is going to do upon his return? He starts in his own house. He don't go outside his house first. See, Jesus Christ started in his church, but the exalted Christ started in his house that he built. And he going for Aaron first. Read the scriptures. We the children of Israel. He going for Aaron first. See, Moses went for Aaron first. And he wanted to kill Aaron because he felt that Aaron was responsible for his people going astray. But after further talking to Aaron, he vindicated Aaron because Aaron followed the path to a T. It was the stiff-necks and hard-hearted that went back to worshiping the golden calf. And God said, don't even worry about them. I'm going to let all of them die out and let their children inherit this. Because they didn't want to go face them giants, them giant trials and tribulations. They started out wanting to face them, but after they got their little freedom to do what they want to do and disobey general commandments and general orders that are divinely instructed to you, once you drop that ball, once we drop that ball, then it's just like when Malcolm left the nation. It's just like when Khalid left the nation. It's just like when Clarence 13X left the nation. You just committed suicide because it is not the nation that is dropping the hedge. It is God dropping the hedge because now you want to play Job. And he only had one Job because he know you're going to curse him to his face because you curse out the ones that he put before you to resurrect you because you disobey. Your egos catch up with you. And see, when we drop our egos and pick up our heart and pick up our number one thing in Islam, and that's submission. But you got to go further than that. You got to entirely submit. And that's a hard thing to do because a lot of us submit. I mean, it's easy to submit because if you read the Quran, Allah scared the hell out you into submission just reading his words. But do you entirely submit? Do you entirely believe that Master Farad Muhammad was God in person? Do you entirely believe that the exalted Christ is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad? Do you entirely believe that Farrakhan is the Jesus in your midst? Do you really believe what you tell other people? Because if you believe that, your fear of the return of the exalted Christ with the Christ would be a fire under your bike side. Because you want to get your house in order. Because the winds are blowing, ice falling out the sky, killing the people. The stockpile of snow that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told you Allah had stocked up against your enemy and against the hypocrites. Don't you want to be recognized as not one of them? One of those who openly disobey and go against general orders and commandments within the nation of Islam? Don't you want to be one of the ones that he look at you and say, well done? Now go out and finish fighting? Or do you want to be the ones he say to sell block H? And the H don't stand for heaven. But disobedience, when the Christ comes, if you have disobeyed, you got to reap what you sowed. Nobody ain't getting away easy. None of us are getting away easy. You got to take your spanking, be a man or a woman about your imperfections and being the standard of Almighty God Allah as a nation of brothers and sisters that go out and make the nation bigger, not by sitting back with lip service, but going out and saving the unsavaged. Somebody saved us and made us unsavaged. So it should be a joy in our spirit to go out and be saviors. Don't just let the Christians and the Jehovah Witnesses be the saviors. That's our job. We represent the Savior. Muslims love Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Because Jesus was in every religion. He was in the Quran. He was in the Torah. He was in the Gospel. He in the Mormon book. He in the Jehovah Witness book. Jesus everywhere. You can't limit his ability to be everywhere. So when you disobey his father, you are in total error to him because he gave it all for you. He did it all for you already. But you forget where you come from. And because you forget where you come from, disobedience creeps in. So Jesus don't want you to submit to him. He wants you to surrender your will to him so he can reintroduce you to the people that you say you love. If you love the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, prove it. If you love Marcus Garvey, prove it. If you love Bob Marley, prove it. Don't just wear the locks. It's something deeper than those locks. Don't just wear the crown and stand up underneath the flag of Islam. It's something deeper than that. You represent Allah, the Most High, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. Everybody else might be worshiping something different, but you worshiping the mightiest name ever put in the universe. So that means you got to be the mightiest people. That's why you don't walk around with weapons. Your weapon is the power and the magic that Almighty God Allah has given you to stand in front of a bullet and that bullet go the other way. See, that's the kind of spirit you got to have, but only surrendering your will and being obedient to God will do that. And it starts within. It starts within all of us. We got to take our soul to the laundromat. We got to go back to the Lord and beg for forgiveness. Don't say no put together prayer, no put together ritual, no put together principle or practice. Come from the heart, man. Talk to the Lord so the Lord can teach you about the exalted Christ. Talk to the Lord so he can teach you about Master Farad Muhammad. Talk to the Lord so he can teach you the science of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because they part of the same royal family, if you only but knew. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and switch it over to the brother because I feel in my spirit that the brother ready to pour out his spirit again. And remember, family, if we have anything on the line, press 1, make your comments and statements, and your clarifications. You can go inside of the chat room, and Sister Queen Aziza, our beloved hostess, she is ready to answer your questions and or stop us and let us know that we have a caller on the line. Thank you for listening to us. Yes, go ahead, Sister Queen.
I'm sorry. I just want you to know that Brother Kareem has joined us.
As-salamu alaykum, beloved Brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum salam,
soldier.
All right. What we're doing tonight, Brother Kareem, is we just coming off our heart on disobedience. That's all. We ain't, you know, just, you know, we putting all our, we confessing all our faults and letting everybody know we have too surely imperfected the religion of Islam when Allah gave it to us as a perfected religion. So we trying to clean up them imperfections, you know, and come from the heart and speak on, you know, the value of disobedience. That's what we basically have been speaking on, the value of disobedience. And the underlying tone, of course, Brother Kareem, is love for one another, because it's that we feel and we know will be an extension of Allah's grace, and he'll smell it in the air and heal our nation, because to us that's what's important. We've been put up on a high standard. So don't nobody feel down. You've been put on a high standard because that's what Allah wanted you to be, the strongest nation. He wanted you to fall into hopelessness so that you'll know how it feels to be threatened with a plague, so that you'll go out and then help the people who are going to be partakers of that plague not to be a part of that plague. So, Brother Kareem, without further ado, I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself, beloved, and we'll go ahead and let you come from your heart on what disobedience, the consequence of disobedience means and does in your mind. As-salamu alaykum, and thank you for joining us, beloved.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum salam. Well, first and foremost, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who indeed came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed his last and greatest messenger, the exalted Christ. And in the name of our divine reminder in our midst, he who carries the mantle of Masih or Messiah right now, he who, if you want to see Jesus walking and talking in the public for everybody to see, fulfilling the scriptures, those major parts of that scripture everybody's been looking for, and you can see it right there.
I speak of
none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet everyone again in the greeting words of peace and paradise. As-salamu alaykum. And
wow, look at
Salam,
too.
Salam.
Love it, soldier.
And I want to say thank you to Queen Aziza, to you, Brother Reginald, for, again, allowing me to serve in this capacity. Please forgive my voice. I've been working with concrete and concrete dust all day, but that's all right.
Brother Kareem, you just said a sentence. Could you say the verb in that sentence one more time? Thank me for
allowing you to continue to do what?
When you say thank you for allowing me to continue to do what? It's
to
with
serve.
S.
To serve in this capacity.
Serve.
Yes, sir.
I just want to listen to the audience to hear that verb, serve.
Yes,
okay, go ahead,
yes,
brother.
Sir. Because that ultimately, that's what we're all here to do, is to serve. You so often will hear people today, in the past and today particularly, well, ain't nobody going to use me. I'm not here to be used. Then get off the planet, because that's what Allah placed us here for, is to be used. We're not to be misused.
That's
there
right.
is a difference.
That's right.
That's the purpose, is to be used, but to be used in a correct and proper manner. And, you know, when I saw what the topic was, I mean, it brought to mind to me many things, but in particular, you'll see, I'm going to share this from the Quran, it's from the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. It's Surah or Chapter 35, entitled The Originator in English. And it's ayats or verses 32 through 34, very quickly. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Allah states, then we have given the book as inheritance to those whom we have chosen from among our servants. So of them is he who wrongs himself, and of them is he who takes a middle course, and of them is he who is foremost in deeds of goodness by Allah's permission. That is the great grace, gardens of perpetuity, which they enter. They are made to wear therein bracelets of gold and pearls, and their dress therein is silk. And they say, praise be to Allah, who has removed grief from us. Surely our Lord is forgiving, multiplier of reward. Baqallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And the reason that comes to mind is this, is because it talks about three types of believers, you know, people who say they believe. And the first one, and it says the three types of believers, they are in ascending order, meaning each one is better than the last. And it says, of those who have been given the instructions, the first are those who wrong themselves. Thus, those are individuals who, I'm not talking about somebody who's in outright disobedience, but this is somebody who's hiding, and so behind closed doors, okay, or out of the field of vision of the public, they're in outright disobedience to the law,
to what
has been given to us. Those are those who wrong themselves. Then it says you got those who take a middle course. Well, this is the individual who got the instructions, and they're going to do just enough not to get in trouble. Okay?
Go ahead,
just
brother.
Enough. Okay. I mean, and this is the reality of this. But they're not going to put in, they're not going to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? I follow all the rules. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't fornicate. I'm not chasing sisters / brothers, you know, whatever the situation may be.
I hear you. Go ahead. Come on, beloved.
Yet at the same time, how often do you see the brother or sister or child in the street, and they're in need of your help? And I'm not talking about necessarily giving them some money out your pocket. They may, you can see it, because when you're walking in the mind of, in the spirit of Allah, in the spirit of God, you have that quote unquote sixth sense. You can tell. You know something. So they may just need a kind word. You speak to them. Sometimes they'll just start talking to you and tell you what they need.
That's okay. Right, brother. That's right.
So then it talks about, it says, and of them who is foremost in deeds of goodness by Allah's grace, that is the great grace. We've discussed this several times, on Conscious Black Nation, but also on other programs I've mentioned the fact. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan kind of talked about it some years ago in a lecture. He mentioned it, but he went on. He never touched it again. But he put it out there for us to think about and look at. He talked about how the student enrollment starts when you come to enroll in the classroom of God. It said the following questions must be answered 100% before submittance of student to said lesson number one. Since lesson number one is the basis of the work that we're doing today, what it's saying is if the questions have to be answered 100%, it means that in order to answer those questions that we're given 100%, it takes a changing in ourselves. That hard-heartedness that the majority of us have has to be melted away. The hard-heartedness that God said he would take away, that has to be taken away. So we have to develop a particular type of heart, a particular type of mind. And when I say heart, I am not talking about the pulmonary pump that resides in our chest near the center but more to the left. I'm not talking about that. The heart I'm talking about is the center of our thinking, the center of our being, The center of our being and our thinking has to be service to Almighty God, Allah. Now, the consequences of rebellion, I can tell you from personal experience of the consequences of rebellion. See, I found out early in life when I decided that I didn't want to be under that tyrant that I was living with. See, that's how my thinking was back then. And all praise is due to Allah, the beating that I got. I'm talking about from Allah, not from my mother, because that's what I considered my mother to be at that time, because I'm looking at the outside and all these rules and regulations I got to follow, little knowing that the very thing, the very discipline I was being raised under by an MGT was the very thing that when I got out in the street in rebellion to everything I had been taught was the very thing that would save my life. That's the bottom line. See, the cost of rebelling against what God has, first of all, instructed you to do, and then on top of that, what you are born to do, is death. And the death I'm talking about is a walking death, a living death. You walking around knowing what's going on. You get to a point, you'll be walking around and want to stop destroying yourself and can't, because you place yourself in that position. You've got to come back into submission. As I know we don't have time for me to go into the whole story. Suffice it to say, what I'm saying is that, but even out there, when you have been given a wisdom of this caliber, even in your rebellion to Allah, you are still going to do the work. The difference is this. If you notice, we are told by Allah in the Quran, it says you will submit willingly or unwillingly.
That's right.
Now, people can have all kind of definitions for that if they want to. All I know is in my personal experience that what that means is submitting unwillingly is you're going to still do the work, but you're going to be in a state of unrest, a state of contention. Yes, you're going to be in hell, but you are yet going to do what Allah desires for you to do. That's unwillingly. Willingly, you get to reap some wonderful benefits, peace of mind, contentment, and some material rewards. I can say, I'm talking from personal experience. We as a people now, I'm talking about in general, the description was given, it says that we are, what? Easy to lead in the wrong direction, but hard to lead in the right direction. Now, that's the people in general. Then you come to those of us who have been, I'm going to say, introduced to this wisdom. See, a lot of individuals want to, you know, they want to talk about their years and how long they've been around, and that's fine. However, years around something doesn't mean you have knowledge of it. The level of my knowledge, the level of the power of what has been given to me, conversely related to how well I apply what's been given to me.
Say that again, brother. Say that one more time, please.
Well, like I said, the level of power that I achieve, the level of the ability to change myself and others, I'm gonna clarify some, all right, is conversely related to how well I apply the information that I've been given. See, it starts out as information. Somebody informs me of something.
That's right.
Then I either, based upon my reasoning power, I either accept it or reject it. And then if I accept it, then I'll begin to practice it. So that's belief. Okay, I heard it. Sounds good. I believe it. Then I, based on that belief or that faith, full acceptance and total humility, I begin to practice it. And the more I practice it, the result I get from it, I can now stand on it. So now it becomes, I know that it is real. I don't have to believe it anymore. I know it because I practice it. So now it's knowledge, and it's having a real good effect in my life. Now, the more I stand on this knowledge and perfect myself based on this knowledge, what I'm standing on, and be an example, now I grow into wisdom or wise dominion, because now I not only am able to affect myself, but I'm able to dominate in a loving, God-like way. Don't mean giving no orders, but it means that by my example, others are now influenced. Others are now influenced to go in the same direction. But I got to be doing this, man. I got to be doing this.
You a light, brother. That's what a light does. A light shines in darkness. That's right, brother.
Right. And so that's, but like I said, as far as the cost of rebellion is my life. And I'm gonna wrap this up with this. You notice in the Bible it says the wages, look at the word, the wages of sin
is
death.
Is. That's right.
That's what the wage. So let's see. Wages is something you get for an effort you put in. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the wages of sin is death. Go ahead. So now, since the wages of sin is death, let's establish what sin is. Now, people will say, "Oh, well, we got the restrictive law, and it's, you can yes." And then you say the seven deadly sins. Yes. That's why I talked about there are seven gates to hell. And each individual will go into by a particular gate based upon what their most prominent sin was. Okay, that's fine. But honestly, if we go back to the very beginning, because remember, God is one.
That's right.
So sin, which is spiritually ideating negatively, okay, sin, the original sin, or really the only sin there is disobedience to the will of God. Everything else is a symptom of that.
That's
it's
right.
A symptom. The minister himself said it in a lecture years ago. He was talking about the Ten Commandments. He said there's really only one commandment. Have no other God but God.
That's right.
The rest of them are examples for them smart mouths. What you mean, I know other guy but God? Okay, don't commit adultery. Don't murder nobody. He give you examples of what it is. You know, so I mean, that being the case. So if the wages of sin, I'm going to say this, if the wages of sin is death, then what are the wages of righteousness? You know, and with that, I'm going to close. And like I say again, thank you very much for allowing me to participate, because it allowed me again to be able to be obedient.
That's right. Well, Legis Talon, thank you for serving your people, sir, because you know what? That's the top hat to wear in this day and time, to be a servant, because to be a servant is to be a savior. And to be a savior is to let your light shine amongst men and be considered a son of God. Because that's all we're trying to do. We go around making little baby Jesuses. That's our goal, to make little baby Honorable Elijah Muhammad's, to make little baby Farrakhan's, to make little baby Master Farad Muhammad's, to make little baby Sister Clara Muhammad's, to make little baby Khadijah Muhammad's, to make little baby Khadijah Farrakhan, to make little baby Tynetta Muhammad, because we are the standard. We are the royal family. We wasn't given the Nation of Islam because we like the average. Many were called, but only a few were chosen to represent the Nation of Islam. Wear your crown proudly, but don't wear your crown if you're not going to represent the exalted Christ, because he did it all for us. He connected us to Allah in person, because a lot of us hadn't seen him. He was the connector and is the connector. He is the one with the power at the right hand of the Mahdi. So how are we representing him is the question. how we represent our spiritual grandfather. We already know how we represent the grandfather, the spiritual father that's on the scene with us today. We're not very good representatives of our spiritual father that's right in front of our face. So you know you don't lost respect for your grandfather who connected you to Allah in person. Because when you disrespect one, you disrespect the other. And when you disrespect the other, you disrespect them all. So it's about disrespect. Now, we don't lost manners. And in all things, have good manners. We don't have good manners no more. Because if we did, it wouldn't be no backbiting going on. That used to be a rule. No Muslim should argue amongst each other. Even if that Muslim is in or out of the Nation of Islam, let them talk to themselves. Because they got to go through the fire. You already going through it. You already in it. Just show sacrifice and hanging on in there. Even when it looked like the road was going to get cloudy. You still here. Now take what you, your blessing, your gift that Allah has chosen you to be still in the nation at this particular time. Because the nation is a womb. The nation represents Maryam. It's for virgin minds. It's for you to go out and bring people into the birthing place of gods. Because we want to prove that we gods. We don't want to just say it. We want to prove that we Allahs. We don't want to just say it. And how do we do it? We first rededicate, resubmit, and surrender ourselves to the Lord. Because it ain't none but one Lord, and the Lord is Almighty God Allah. You don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would instantly change from being disobedient to an obedient people. Because being obedient is not for God's good. It is for our own good. When you spanked your children for disobedience, it was not to punish them. It was for their own good. So if we want to sit back, because everybody going to receive a certain amount of licks, because you got to reap what you have sown. See, it may be a God that tell you that you're not going to reap what you sowed and all your sins going to be washed away. But we are military. And we know as being military-minded soldiers that when we break general orders, there's a price to pay. It's a price to pay for breaking general orders in the Nation of Islam. Maybe not in them other organizations. But in the Nation of Islam, when you break rank and you disobey a general order, see, ministers say we're going back to the old school. Y'all, I just wish y'all would just listen and understand that the Christ is here judging his house. Better get it right. So, brother, on that note, I'm just want to go ahead and lead in to what Brother Kareem led out on, and that was the consequence of righteousness, because we gotta put a flip side to this. Because there's still an inkling. There's still a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So we want to give...
Reginald, you do have some questions.
Okay. All right. Before you go ahead and answer that, brother, we're going to yield to the questions. Go ahead, Sister Queen Aziza.
Okay. Patrick says... I hope everybody can hear me.
Yes.
Patrick says, everyone sins. God is forgiving. Doesn't he know we are not perfect? Anybody
want to
answer Patrick's question?
I yield to my panelists. I have one.
Okay. Well, I'll take a stab at that. And I want to thank. It was Patrick, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank Patrick for his question, because yes, Almighty God is forgiving. Okay. Now, and when you study the scripture, understand this. I know there's a misconception about the forgiveness of God. The scriptures tell us, or we are told, that there is what's called agape, or unconditional love. So God's love, all right, which encompasses everything. That's why it says that the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust, the good as well as the evil. So his love is unconditional. However, if you study the scripture for yourself and also look at your own personal experience in your life, you'll find out that the forgiveness part has conditions on it. This is why individuals are told to go and sin no more. And it's not that God is sitting there with a book. He doesn't have a notebook, and he's sitting down counting what you did. What it is that he has placed a law in motion in the universe. You reap what you sow. So our very actions in rebellion to him produce the consequences that we suffer from, whether they be positive or negative. Our very actions, or the lack thereof, produce whatever consequences that we experience. So, yes, God knows that we are imperfect. I mean, I don't want to get too deep, but the thing is that...
Go ahead, beloved.
You notice God is called all good. Jesus made a statement in the Bible wherein he said, it was a young man came up to him and said, "Oh, good master," and Jesus turned to him and said, "Why callest thou me good? None is good but the Father which is in heaven." This is the statement attributed to Jesus. Well, individuals say that he's the Lord and there's no wickedness or uncleanness in him, correct? Well, since in the beginning of the creation, in the beginning of the universe, there was nothing but God himself.
That's right.
Built up himself, or produced the creation out of the matter that surrounded him. All right. And since God is all good, and there's another place in the scripture there where he says he created good and evil for his purpose.
That's right.
So we have to take all these things into consideration. But since God is all good, and there was nothing but him in the beginning, when he produced the creation, then where did sinful nature, quote unquote, I'm going to use that language, where did evil or wickedness come from? Had to come from the originator in the beginning. But since he's all good now, where did it go? It went into the creation. So that means it went into us. And just as he expelled it from himself through a process by creating himself, then we are to mirror that and do the same thing. And in that,
come on.
When we recognize that something we're doing is wrong, when it's detrimental to us and those around us, when we identify that, then we have to purge ourselves of that particular fault or activity. So, yes, God does forgive, but his forgiveness is not unconditional. And that's how I would answer that. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, beloved. Thank you, beloved brother. Eddie, would you like to add something to that that profound answer?
Yes, sir. And I hate quoting. I mean, just paraphrasing from the Quran, but I will because I couldn't find the particular verse in time. Oh, boom, found it. Praise be to Allah.
That's right.
So this is I have the Quran on my phone, so I took a screenshot of the page, but I'm trying to find the chapter. But the verse is 17 and 18. I believe it's verse chapter number 5, but I'll verify that at some point in the lecture. But let me go ahead and read it. And it says, "Repentance with Allah is only for those who do evil in ignorance. Then turn Allah soon, so these it is whom Allah turns mercifully. And Allah is ever-knowing, wise." And then it says, "And repentance is not for those who go on doing evil deeds until when death comes to one of them, he says, 'Now I repent.' Nor for those who die while they are disbelievers. For such we have prepared a painful chastisement." Now, when the brother asks, does Allah know or not know that we are going to sin? He does. His forgiveness is not just unconditional. It says he's off returning to mercy, but he has conditions. This is chapter Surah 4.
Yes, come on.
17, for those who want to look at that. At Google.
Quranic, teach us tonight, brother. Go ahead.
Teach. But in another place, he says something in Surah 9, verse 80, and I'll say 79 and 80. He says, those who taunt the free givers of alms among the believers, as well as those who cannot find anything to give, but with their hard labor, they scoff at them. Allah will pay them back their mockery, and for them is a painful chastisement. And forgiveness for them, or ask not forgiveness for them.
That's right.
Even if I ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. This is because they disbelieve. Listen to this. They disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger, and Allah guides not the transgressing people. So He gave us free will, the will to choose to obey or disobey, which is what we're
talking
about.
That's
right. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that He made man complete, yet incomplete.
Incomplete, that's right.
So in our incompleteness, and the limits of our knowledge, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to fall. We are going to fall. But as Minister Louis Farrakhan put it to the FOI and MGT on the stage of Savior Day, he said, none of us are perfect. Some of them fall, but we don't stay down. Submission and obedience doesn't mean we will be perfect. But submission and obedience means we are constantly striving for Allah's forgiveness by asking in repentance and then doing better. If I have a child, and that child has faults and constantly disobeys, as we know children do, the more we see the child grow into striving to be obedient, the less severe we are in punishment. But if we have a child that's just completely rebellious, well, we can see it by the continuation of the record of their behavior. So the same with us. If we fall into these categories, disbelief, continuing to do evil, knowing it is wrong, but doing it deliberately, and we are not worthy of forgiveness. See, Allah's forgiveness is not dependent on Him. He's off returning to mercy, the merciful. You can find that 1,000 times in the Holy Quran. But the problem and the determination, rather, of His forgiveness is you, me, what we choose based upon our knowledge, because once we know, we are then responsible. That's the power of free will. You have the right to do as you will please, but you choose whether you will be blessed or forgiven or whether you will be condemned and damned to hell. But I'll leave it, my answer right there. Praise you, Lord.
I'll pray.
Thank you, beloved.
Thank you, beloved, for that. Just clear. That's how we just being clear tonight. This panel, right, we being clear. And we coming from our heart. We don't have no notes. We don't have any of that. But what we do have is the same spirit that you see when you hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because see, what you got before you is more brothers who really love not the noun but the verb. We love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we thank Allah for the exalted Christ. And we thank Him for intervening in our affairs in person as a God to help us. So we are thankful and we are grateful. So we coming from the heart tonight because it's time now, people. The spirit of Almighty God, Allah, has been poured out in the universe. And it ain't just landing on us. Submit. So it can land on you too, so we can get together under the old cherry tree and say, we all got one too. We all got that heart to be saviors. Okay, Sister Queen Aziza, we can go on to your next question from our listening audience. And thank you for your patience, Sister Queen.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. KT says, please be more general? We don't know anything about your lesson. So, well, I guess you don't. I don't know what he's referring to exactly. Probably when Brother Kareem was making reference to the particular lessons that we are giving, when we first take Shahada, become Muslim. And I understand that maybe our Christian audience is not privy to that. Well, Brother Kareem, if you want to give a brief explanation of what our lessons are, with, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, you rest your voice. I can hear you. Just rest. Now, and thank you for that instruction, because, and I will say this, because we are taught in our lessons that no man or no person can properly teach a people or share what God has given them with the people. I'm going to say it in that fashion, who does not speak the people's language.
That's
and
right.
So, but the lessons that we are given, or how we come in, the one that I mentioned about the student enrollment, is no different in essence, all right, than when you read in the Bible.
That's
that
right.
Jesus was walking. He was walking. I'm gonna make it a modern translation. He was walking through the hood.
That's okay. Right.
Okay, and he saw some brothers over there, and their particular profession was fishing, okay? So we know he was walking through L.A. because, you know, they out on the coast, you know, and he walked past them while they were on their sloop, you know what I'm saying? You know, a K-90 or so, you know, anybody that know about boats know what that is. And he walked up to them and said, He talked to them and he told them, "Come, I will make you fishers of men." So
go ahead.
The reason he said that is because this was a profession they were already involved in. But when he told them he would make them fishers of men, they didn't necessarily understand exactly what he was saying.
No,
but the
sir.
Thing is, in order for them to make the transition from that particular profession into the profession that Jesus himself was in, they had to be taught, they had to be trained. And so it's just like with any school, the Bible says it like this, it says, study to show thyself approved. Well, what does that mean? Well, the reason we study is so that we can begin to take on the mind of the Creator, a mind for goodness. And that's what those lessons are designed for. It's designed to begin to make your mind or move your mind in a particular way. I can understand what you're saying about being more general. Well, being more general, when it says, when I talked about student enrollment, I didn't even get into the question, at first the question and answer, but it says the following questions must be answered 100%. Well, if it's called student enrollment. Well, if you're going to go to school, any school, you go to the office of admissions. You don't go to the office of submittance. You go to the office of admissions to be admitted into the school, and you enroll as a student. Well, what we were given, we're enrolling in the classroom of Almighty God. So this goes for anybody that even if they're going to the church. In other words, when we go to these places, there's something there that we desire to learn, something that we know we can benefit from there. But it means that there's some things or avenues about our thinking that are going to have to change. Because if they didn't, or they didn't need to change, then there would be no need for us to go to this particular place of learning. But when it says the following questions must be answered 100%, it's real simple. It goes back to what Jesus did or how he lived. What made him or makes him so special is that he submits himself 100% to do God's will. That's why he can say, when you see him, you see the Father. Because the person of the Father is what is over him. So I hope I'm being more general in my delivery. What I want to say is it's not our intention to confuse anybody or to leave anybody out. But I think what you will find is that if you listen to how it all comes together, how it all relates, then you will see, you'll be a student, and you'll find yourself in it. You'll find, and that's the key. If you hear something that you can relate to, that you can draw from, that will help you be a better person, then draw on that. Hold on to that. Anything that's not understood, simply ask us and we will explain it. And something that my brother said earlier reminded me of what my mother always said to me, and it's about our flag. The flag of Islam is given to us in the Nation of Islam, and when you see that flag, you will see it flanked by four letters, F, J, E, and I. And the F starts on the right. My mother used to say this to me all the time. I'm going to say this and I'm going to let it go. She used to say that, remember, under the sun, that's why it's red, that represents the sun, that big red flag represents the sun, that field of red, represents the sun, which represents freedom. She said, but now remember, right around the corner from freedom is justice. She said, the only way that you can have true justice is if it's applied to everyone equally. And the only way that justice can be applied equally to everyone is under Islam, which is entire submission to the will of God. Not, not a bunch of different or particular practices, I'm going to say, but under entire submission to the will of God. And so I hope... that was adequate. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir. Thank you very much, beloved, for that. And I also, I don't have much to add to it before I let the brother add to it, but I did want to say to the beloved, thank you for the question. And no question is a dumb question, but, of course, we're going to do with the help of Almighty God. I tried to explain it to you because that's why this particular panel and most of the panels that I am a part of, we try to come from the Torah, the gospel, and the Quran. And some of us can even come from the Talmud. So we're not just coming from one persuasion per se. We coming from all types of areas, and we come in your language because we are dedicated to these teachings. And when you dedicate yourself to these teachings, then you equip yourself with the mathematical language, and that's a universal language where you can go reach your brother or your sister no matter where they at. If they under a bridge, if they in a home, if they in a homeless shelter, if they in a nursing home, if they on a they shut in bed, wherever they are, you will be equipped with this mathematical knowledge that was gained to us from the careful study of the supreme wisdom that we was given to train our minds, our hearts, and our soul. So if you continue to search for knowledge from the cradle to the grave, then eventually you'll see why we speak about these orders. Because see, even the church should have general orders that if you violate them, certain things is a consequences for violating them. Even the synagogues need have orders, even though it's the synagogue of Satan, but they have general orders. Satan is a very well-organized camp because that's all it is a camp. So we got to organize our hearts, our minds, and our souls to say, well, you know what? These brothers know something that I don't know. These brothers is doing something that ain't been done in the organization that I worship God in. I ain't telling you to leave your organization, but look at the light, because the light finna start shining again. He didn't put us in bow ties and suits for that methodology, that science to die. That science is eternal. Why you see these men walk around neatly cut, suits, smelling good, and being happy to pass you a final call. It's reasons for all that, brother, and you should want to learn the reason or the science that made them mentally say, I'm here to save my people by any means necessary. You got to think deeper into just, I'm hearing something I don't know. Because when you turn on the TV, you're going to hear something that you think you know, and it ain't even what you need to be learning. This is good information for you. And if you got some information to come and share with us from your persuasion, from what you know, that's this kind of show. We dialogue. We don't argue. We invite questions and comments. We dialogue on here. Because no answer is the wrong answer, because Almighty God is the right answer, the only right answer. And it's your righteousness that will sustain you. Assalamu alaikum. Go ahead, Brother Eddie, and add to that question. Unless, Queen, we have more questions or comments or calls.
Yes, we have some more questions. But Brother Eddie, want to answer? Go ahead.
No, please go on. I believe the brother was absolutely thorough in that, in addressing that, him and Brother Kareem. So, I mean, I'll definitely need to more questions. I'll definitely want him to have more time to come in. So, I'll see you.
All praises be to Allah. What's the next question, Sister Queen?
This is a comment from Miss Anonymous. They say, most sins we talk about are judgments from peers. If God knows our hearts, why must I prove my faith to any man?
I'll let Brother Eddie start this off while you resonate on that. A second, Brother Kareem. Go ahead, Brother Eddie. You have the floor, beloved.
Yes, sir. Can you, Sister Aziza, can you repeat that question, please?
Yes, it's more like a comment, Brother Eddie. She says, most of the sins we talk about are judgments from peers. If God knows our hearts, why must I prove my faith to any man?
Interesting. Well,
somebody answer this child, please.
I can answer it. You go get you some lemon juice, Sister Queen. We got this. You relax. We gonna need you tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. You rest your voice.
Praise to Allah. Well, I'm going to try to address the context as best as possible, because every question, Phil, the only thing Dr. Phil ever said smart that I found was that he said, 75% of questions are statements. Now, the first problem with this statement is that God is automatically assumed to not be a man, that he is assumed as being in the spiritual, ethereal, existing, non-existent, something non-something, that the general and widespread theological community has him as a being. So I'm going to, without the burden of much extra proof, go ahead and reject that, because when we talk about the standard and law of God, we are talking about that dwelling in a man. So in that instance, to say the law of God is to say the law of a man, because man is made in the image and likeness of God. Now, the second thing that she's referring to, is, I believe, based on the context of the situation, is that of the conversation is when Brother Reginald talked about us being put out of the mosque, out of the nation, or even, sometimes they put you out of the church, you cause enough trouble. And whether that is divinely qualified. I believe, let me say the first thing is, I believe I talked about the nine systems of the body.
Yes, sir.
And when I was talking, I was speaking in general, because every organization, every system, everything requires the equilibrium of its members in order to function. So sin is simply and only transgression of the law. There is a sin that is on the standard of God. I've used the term divine sin. And there is simple sins, you know, running a red light is a sin. It's a sin against the law of the equilibrium of traffic flow. The wages of sin, as Brother Kareem said, is death. And you run that red light, well, you are tempting death. I mean, death is a God-given thing, right? Even though it's you're transgressing a man's law, it has a divine consequence because God offers death. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Come
so
on.
You can't
That's right, sir.
Separate the law of God from the law of man because man, and I think Allah is allowing me to bring it here, the law of man is built on the laws of God. Because everything that we have laws and functions and policies on is based upon that which is in creation, which Allah himself brought into existence.
That's right.
So if peace and order, these are divine things. These are God orders that. We didn't create peace and order. It was there from the beginning when he created himself out of the nothing of the universe and set the laws in motion that brought him into existence. He created that. The mathematics, he brought all of that. And when we have laws based on that, when you disobey those laws that disobey the laws of man that are built on that, you are disobeying God. Because you can't escape the manhood of God's law. You can't get away from when we talk about your personal character. And let me anthropomorphize character assessment for you real quick. When I got married, I couldn't say God knows her heart. Now, marriage is a divine, a sacred thing. It brings people into existence and all of that. Prophets come through the womb of a woman, and marriage is a whole union which allows that to come into being. That's all divine. It's a divine union, vow made before God. But I couldn't say God knows her heart and then marry her. I'd be stupid. I have to know for myself whether she's compatible to me or I can agree with her, and likewise. So this anthropomorphic process of analysis of her virtue or character as a human being has a divine consequence and a divine godly purpose. So in the sense of the Nation of Islam and the restrictive laws, when you read these restrictive laws, first of all, they come right out of the Holy Quran and the Bible, every last one of them.
That's right.
And so when you disobey those laws, you are disobeying God, because what was set up in the Nation of Islam is based solely and only on the law of God, and you are part of this, and you are dedicated to obeying the very basic instructions that are in the book. So when you disobey them, then by that standard, I can clearly say upon the mathematics of your very obvious behavior that you are in disobedience to God, and there is a punishment for that because you are now poisoning the well, sickening the body of believers who are striving in a world of sin to be righteous. So we put you out for a time until you can return. So as Adam was put out of the garden, but that don't say man is not to go back into the garden, but he's put out for a time. 6,000 years, the garden has been shut to humanity until God comes back to make us worthy to enter it again. So in defense of the Nation of Islam, we put you off 30 days, 90 days, a year, depending upon the thing. Yeah. Because you are committing a crime against the community of those who are doing the impossible. and that is to strive, not be, but strive to be righteous and totally righteous. We in the Nation of Islam have a level of commitment to the laws of God that you don't see nowhere else. And I will say that, and I say it with confidence. Nowhere else do we absolutely do not consume alcohol. We absolutely do not smoke, do not drink, do not commit adultery, do not kick, do not gamble. These are things we do not do, period. That's not even a line that we cross. But rather, when we do commit those things, we have sinned against a pledge, sinned against the harmonious attempt to submit to Allah. And to keep that disease from spreading, we must put it out until that person has recommitted themselves and they can rejoin and again be a part in growing into what God intended us to be. I hope I'm making sense in trying to tie this together.
Doing a wonderful job. Love it. Wonderful job.
In the question lies that old adage being said of none can judge in that particular foolishness, and not to disrespect the person who actually made the statement. But you cannot separate man from God. You can't do it because he is off of everything. And every law and policy that is put into effect, and I'm talking now about the Nation of Islam because that's really what the question is directed towards, if I'm not mistaken. And if it is, and I apologize, if it's not either way it applies. Take something from it.
That's right, beloved.
Every
go ahead.
Every law and policy that we have goes into doing the will of God. And if you are not about doing the will of God, then you are not about God. You are about Satan. And that is who we are. Whoa. Paul said, we war not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at war. We are at a time of separation. We are at a time where the enemy is sending in Satan into the mosque, into the church, into the synagogue to divide and separate and to poison the people who are striving to be the people of God and not the people of Satan. He is seeking to make evil fair seem, and that's what he does, as the Quran says. That's his mission, to make evil fair seem. And when you commit an evil that is so blatantly against the basic principles of the Nation of Islam, it's not that a brother perhaps forgot to go sell some papers, didn't go create some charity, but you committed the immediate thing against what we do. So you have, in a sense, given your obedience to Satan. That is a serious offense, and unfortunately, that is the spirit that Minister Farrakhan had on Savior's Day and Part 2, the Sunday past. Now, we give too easily to rebellion, and we slap the names of holy and righteous men on it. Too often do we talk about our love, but yet our dedication to the basic principles of right and wrong, we shirk under the guise of none can judge me, and God knows my heart. No, God knows your activity.
That's
and
right.
It is his activity that he is weighing among us. We can have a good heart all day long. I could love my family to death, but if I don't get up out of bed and go to work and provide, all my love doesn't mean anything at all. Because it is activity that mathematically produces a result. And
come
we
on.
Have been given a religion and a theology
who
that gives an excuse for good intention and excuse for good thinking, but all our activity revolves around the worship and obedience of Satan's world. The whole point of this church is to give you 6 days, to 6.5 days to be a devil and 4 hours in church to be a quote-unquote saint. Or the mosque, wherever you go. So, absolutely. The law of man and the law that Master Farad Muhammad set down in the Nation of Islam is absolutely qualified to make us able to judge you. But not to judge you in hate, but in love. That when you refuse to obey the law, then you're not one of us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, clean up, or you're out of luck with us. Because we're striving to be righteous people. We ain't there yet. Nothing good but the Father, but we trying, damn it.
That's right.
So, under no circumstance, carry around the banner of God knows my heart. That ain't enough. Yeah, God knows your heart, but the devil knows what you do on a daily basis. I'm sure a whole lot of people got a good heart to go in the liquor store and get in the car and go have a car crash that kills innocent people. Everybody got a good heart, a good thought once in a while. But it is the activity that trains real good. I'm going to leave it.
Praise be to Allah.
Our praise be to Allah. Brother Kareem, you want to add on to
that? Good teaching.
Oh, yes, yeah, very good teaching. The only thing I can add to what my brother just not put down but raised up, because that's what he did, is the fact that usually when we trot that, you know, that little phrase out, well, God knows my heart, it's because we know that we are the self-accusing spirit or the Holy Spirit, quote-unquote, is whooping our behind. Our conscience is tearing us up for activity that we involved in that we know is wrong. And then
somebody see us
and call us on it, and they want to, well, the Lord know my heart. You can't judge me. Let me just say this. In the scripture, when it says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with the same judgment that ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Okay, you need to understand the translation. The word judge and the word condemn both come from the Latin word judais, which means literally to weigh. So when it says judge not, in the context it's being used, it's saying condemn not that ye be not condemned. For with the same condemnation ye condemn, ye shall also be condemned. But you got to make a judgment. And as my brother said, I'm going to say it very plain. I will just repeat it very plainly. God is a man. We just need to understand the full definition of what a real man is. You cannot separate God from man. Like I said, my brother, he handled it. I'm done. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Wow, Brother Eddie, teaching hard.
Hard. Hey. Come on with that.
We got a question from Lee.
Hmm.
All I can say, y'all put y'all seatbelts on.
Go ahead.
Lee says, I don't see how the Muslims will be saved when they don't get baptized and they don't take communion.
Uh-oh.
If you refuse to plead the blood of Jesus, you will surely die.
Okay.
Y'all got this. I'm gonna shut up.
Ooh, okay. I got to jump out of here. Excuse me. Look here. Let me say this. Now he said that we don't take communion. We refuse to confess the blood. And what else we don't do? I want to be clear on this.
Baptized.
Okay. No, you don't have to. No, I got it now. Baptized, communion, and confess the blood. Oh, I'm with you.
Right.
First of all.
Right.
It says to be baptized. Well, what being baptized means what? Do you honestly believe, because I know, again, from personal experience, do you honestly believe with all the activity that goes on right now? See that word activity again, my brother brought up. I know so many people that have been dunked in the water at the baptismal pool in the church, and these
Come
are some
on.
Of the most hell-filled people that I know. These are some of the most hell-filled people that I know. Their activities don't bear witness to being baptized, all right, in the true sense of what the baptism means. See, if you are a righteous or a person that's striving for righteousness, then you baptize your body every day, at least once every 24 hours. The baptism that it's talking about is, you have to understand that the water is talking about being
bathed in or covered in is the wisdom and knowledge of Almighty God. Because water in scripture terms, one of its meanings is the revelation, the word of God. So you got to baptize yourself with that word. And baptizing yourself with that word means that you have been cleansed and say your sins are washed away. Now, when you talk about this communion, if you're talking about the little wafer, or some places they don't go buy the wafers, they get the little cracker. Well, you got to understand something. That communion with the little wafer, the Eucharist, as it's called, is a carryover from the Catholic Church. And it represents the Son. It represents the Son. So when it talks about taking communion, and when it talks, I know what you're talking about. When it said that at the Last Supper, Jesus said, take this bread and eat of this. This is my body. And continue to do this in remembrance of me. Well, the bread he was talking about, you got to go back to the scripture where he said, well, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But when he said, this bread is my body, meaning the way I live, you got to take me into you and become like I am as I am with the Father. That little wafer not going to save you. And if you're not looking at what's, because like I said again, I know people that do that, take the communion, they've been baptized, and will bust a cap in your behind real quick. Think about that. Not saying everybody, but if it had value, then we would see a change our neighborhoods, our communities, and indeed the world itself wouldn't be in the condition it's in. And now when you say confess the blood of Christ, see, we know Christ. We don't believe in him. We know Christ. And when it's talking about confessing the blood of Christ, when you confess something, what? You bear witness to it. Even in a criminal situation, the person, when they confess, they say, we want your confession. What do they want you to confess to? They want you to confess that you did this. You were an active participant in this particular thing. So confessing the blood of Christ means to live. Your life bears witness to the life that Christ lives, not lived, not past tense, present tense. If your life bears witness to the life that Christ lived. So very plainly, we got it. You need to come out of the spookism that you in. I'm going to say it to you. You can get mad at me. I don't care. Good. Get your dander up. Maybe you'll go study and take a look around you and get active, because just saying some words will not save your behind from the hell that's already on the world. Look at the weather. Just look at the weather by itself. I ain't even talking about look at the weather. And all of that, and the folks that's dying and killing one another, the majority of folks that's dying and killing one another, they made those statements, but their lives, the activity that they participate in, does not bear witness to what that symbolic language is talking about. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Am I live now, Sister Queen?
Yes, sir, you are.
All right. Wonderful. Well, brother, I guess we really can't add to that, and also we're short on time. So if you have another question, let us know before we move on, Sister Queen.
Forgive me. You got me heated.
No, sir. No forgiveness is necessary. Sister Queen, where we at now?
We don't have any more questions that we go ask.
Okay. All right. Well, with the little bit of time that we have left, I think it would be wise for all of us, to really start heeding the call of one another now. I mean, because we've already heard from the Commander-in-Chief. Now let's start heeding the call from one another, because, see, when we speak, you have to keep in mind, we're not saying you, we're saying we. Then that's the kind of language that we have to start using, not us. Not them, not those, not that, but we. See, because ain't no I in team, and we got to unify as one team, one Uma, one family. I don't know if any of you remember, but back in the 70s, 60s, and a little bit of the early 80s, we would get with our family and go to the park every Sunday after church. It didn't matter if you went to First Baptist, Second Baptist, Eighth Baptist, you was in the nation, you was in the street selling drugs, you was whatever you was doing, the family got together. Because it was a sign of love. And when they broke our families up with this crack cocaine agenda and this heroin agenda, which was the design to break and destroy the black family agenda, the original agenda of the black family, they succeeded. But we got to jump up. We got to dust our shoulders off and move on to the next series. Because, see, if we submit our will to obey the will of God, if we submit our will to obey, then he'll give us the power. He'll give us the armor. He'll give us the sackcloth and ashes that we need to get us through this imminent, turbulent time that we are not going to face, but we are facing. Do you really want a whooping from Allah? Do you really think you can handle that? See, my daddy didn't spare the rod, and I couldn't handle his whooping. So imagine what Allah's whooping is like. Because every deed is recorded. Every deed is recorded. And like the brother say, that self-accusing spirit is in your ear. Not in your heart, in your ear. Are you listening? Are we listening? Should we listen? Will we listen? Thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let the two brothers give a closing statement on my panelists. My two panelists give closing statements so we can close out the show. And I thank you two brothers once again for joining us and lending us your heart to help create change in our minds first and in our hearts. As-salamu alaykum. You may go ahead and close out, Brother Eddie. As-salamu alaykum, brother beloved. Thank you.
Sir, thank you, soldier. thank you, Brother Reginald and Sister Queen Aziza, while I'm just spending these moments doing what I love to do, just talk, you know.
Go ahead, bless you.
Share the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and to defend these teachings, but also to enlighten. And these, and as brother said, it is we in team. And the things that we say don't apply to just us. And I again refer to Savior, that he put us all on the same table. No matter what house that we go to, we are all responsible, not just for the word of God and the law that he commanded, he set down for all of us, but also for us as black people, brown people, the red man, the poor and oppressed in America, to unite, work together to get ourselves out of this condition. And so in that spirit, that is what we do. That is why we do, because God didn't come just for us and didn't come just to make the Nation of Islam, but he came to raise up all of us to be part of his kingdom, the hereafter, the promised land.
That's
and
right.
So we together have to grow in that and love and in unity, as Minister Sharif God of Atlanta uses the theme, love and unity, but never, ever sacrificing or compromising truth in love and unity, but rather a love and unity based on truth, freedom, justice, and equality. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Thank you. Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And again, I want to thank you and Queen Aziza, like I said, for always allowing me the opportunity to serve in this capacity. I want to thank you for allowing me to be on with my brother Eddie. I ain't been on with him in a while because I know he used to be working when I'm popping. So it's beautiful to hear you, brother. It's beautiful to hear you, brother.
It's
beautiful to hear you, too. Yes, sir. And I agree 100%. That's what it is. It's what we do out of love, the verb. We
must unite. However, I'm not going to compromise truth just to unite with you. We must have the truth. We must live the truth. The essence of our life has to be truth. And you may have heard this phrase before. The truth needs no support. It stands on its own. The beauty of the truth, though, is you can stand on it without fear. And hopefully we'll be able to work together regardless of our quote-unquote faith expression and resurrect the people. And, of course, daily, constantly resurrect ourselves from any grave that we may have slipped, fallen into, or walked into on purpose. So, again, thank you very, very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, well, I was going to try to give the lineup, but, of course, those of you who listen to us all the time know we'll be back tomorrow at 8 p.m. with our live study group with Student Minister James Muhammad. On Saturday, we have a special show for Cecilia Terry and Brother Frank, congratulating them on their engagement. And the title of that show will be, I think it's called When You Find the One or something like that. And on Sunday, Brother Reginald, you're going to be back with Islamist Mathematics and Mathematics is Islam, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, and on Monday, Brother Kareem,
Don't worry about it on Monday. For those who want to understand further and deeper, we will be dealing with the true history of Jesus, his birth, death, and what it means to you and me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. And join us on Tuesday. I tell you, I share with you briefly that I had a very hard decision to make this week. And, of course, you know the Brother Jihad has been out since January, but in January he suffered an injury, and he's on a long road back from to recovery. But on the physical aspect, he's doing very, very well. But he just needs that time to recuperate and to heal. And for those of you who don't know, Brother Jihad was in the process of taking out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam on the road. And so he had been to Albuquerque, he had been to Phoenix, he had been to Texas, and he went to Atlanta, and he was venturing out to, I think he was going to go to Alabama after Atlanta, but that's where he fell ill. Well, those of you who may have heard his show, listen to his show often, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad, who is head of our disaster preparedness classes in the nation, and he's stationed in New York, out of Mosque Number 7. He and I think his brother William out of Kentucky, they travel. And they do that disaster preparedness for our nation and different organizations. Well, I know they wanted to continue with the work that Brother Jihad had desired. And so they're waiting on him to get well before they actually take it back out into the street. So on this Tuesday, I said all that to say that on this Tuesday, we will welcome Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad out of New York to our program, as well as his soon-to-be queen, Sister Lachelle, and they will be hosting disaster preparedness on Tuesday. So join us for that brand new show. And, of course, on Wednesday, and that show is coming on at 7, not at 8. It's going to be on at 7 p.m. Central. And then at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and friends, and then next week, inshallah, when I have a little more voice and a little more energy, I am going to do the topic, The Heart of Farrakhan, with student minister Demetra Gett, inshallah, student minister Jamil Muhammad. And that's it. Yeah, that's it. So thank you all for it, for joining us tonight. Thank you all for your questions in chat room. I will answer as many as I can, but I am a little under the weather, so please forgive me, and I will hit you with answers to the rest of those questions tomorrow. Thank you, Brother Reginald, for stepping up to the plate for me
once again. And thank you,
Brother Kareem, for joining us. I know you didn't answer the phone, but I somehow knew you would be here anyway. So thank you for showing up, like always. And Brother Eddie, thank you for that lovely, lovely, wonderful teaching you did tonight, brother. You always bring it when you're on, and I just happened to catch
that's
Brother
right.
Eddie on his off day, and I said, oh, praise is due to Allah. I made him come to work anyway, so. So thank you. Thank you all for listening. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you. In the same manner we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam. Good night, beloved.